Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina man yahdihillahu falamudillalah wa man yudlil falahadiyalah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we have entered into a very auspicious month of Dhul-Hijjah, and the first 10 days are extremely auspicious. They are so sacred that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken an oath, a qasam, on these days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, when he has mentioned wal-fajri wa-layalin ashr, without going into the various commentaries mufassirin have mentioned. But a very accepted view is Allah has taken an oath on Fajr, on dawn, and also on the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ. There are no days in the entire year in which good deeds are done, pious deeds, righteous deeds are done, which are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than good deeds done during these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So Allah has taken an oath, whereas Allah does not need to take an oath on anything. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith, showing to us how important it is for you and I to take maximum benefit of these auspicious days, in which we will make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do pious deeds, righteous deeds, and refrain from all type of sin and evil. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, walal jihadu fi sabilillah? Even jihad fi sabilillah is not equal to deeds done during these days. Rasulullah said, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Even jihad fi sabil, except a man goes out in the path of Allah, he becomes shaheed, he doesn't return home, then that's a different case. Otherwise, days, good deeds done in these days are absolutely sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us a tawfiq of observing these days in the correct manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith has mentioned that a person should recite in abundance, subhanallah, tasbih, tahmid, alhamdulillah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahleel, la ilaha illallah. So simple, the third kalima, subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. Recite this in abundance. This is one of the things that has been mentioned in the hadith. Otherwise, amal salihah is a broad term. Any good deed a person does during these days, but whilst doing good deeds, a person should refrain from all type of evil. And of course, we know that there is the nikah today, inshallah. So I thought I would just mention a few advices on this topic. Remember, the topic of nikah can never become boring. Even though a person may be elderly, is old, and a man is old, woman is old, they may not be so intimate physically as they were in their young days, but the bond and affection, the love between them grows even more stronger. And that is why a person mentioned that there is no journey that is too long if the partner and companion is a good one. So you have a good companion, that journey is not regarded to be boring and too laborious and too long, that you're waiting for it to come to an end. Many a times a person passes away, she's an elderly woman, and the man says, my life partner is gone. So nikah is a very sacred institution in Sharia. There's a very sacred bond between husband and wife. It is a blessing, a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, It is one of the signs of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa min ayatihi, Allah ta'ala mentions various verses, and of his signs is this, that. Various things have been mentioned. And amongst those things Allah has mentioned, wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja. لِتَسْكُونُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That Allah has kept this marriage, this nikah, where the husband gets that sukoon, tranquility, peace from his wife, and she gets that strength and support from him. Allah has placed مَوَدَّة, muhabbat, love, rahma, mercy between husband and wife. This is a social contract we will see in the nikah. It's an aqt. Not just an ordinary contract, but a contract in which we are going to fulfill each other's rights. It's a contract with responsibilities, lifelong. Nikah is the only legitimate, lawful, accepted and authorized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hygienic and natural way that Allah has placed and kept this institution of nikah for the procreation of mankind. The only legitimate way. Whilst nikah is not just fulfillment of and gratification of one's sexual desires, it has responsibilities that you and I need to keep on reminding ourselves of. Unfortunately, the mindset amongst many today, many a young person, he gets married, but because he was garnered with movies and soaps and things that he reads all the time of the so-called celebrities of the Western world. So the picture and image and concept of nikah that he has in his mind is the type of lifestyle that they live, of zina, adultery, illicit relationships. The wife catches the husband cheating on her. Husband catches the wife cheating on him. What happens in the end? It results in a divorce. The haram, illicit way that the West is living. That's not the institution and nikah which Allah has made so pure for you and I. Those who have become ignorant of even knowing what my responsibilities as a husband is, what my responsibility as a wife is. And we don't make that attempt to really learn what is nikah all about. It's not a one day affair. As I said, lifelong. It's a journey. It's a partnership. There are rights that we have to fulfill. It's not just returning some goods that we purchase and we don't want these goods and now I'm returning the goods to the seller. No. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this verse, لِتَسْكُونُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Nikah is absolutely pure in Sharia. The sukoon the man gets from his wife, the peace she gets from him. If you look in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment he becomes a Nabi, he's endowed with nubuwa, iqra. We know the entire incident. He comes running to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She consoles him, not knowing what actually has happened and what is going to be the result now that my husband has become a Nabi of Allah. He says, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. She says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, Allah will never let you down. You're such a kind person. She begins to enumerate his praises and the good qualities he had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, Layya urahma, she stood at his side despite him becoming so ill, so sick. He could not even move. People from his, the other people from the family and the town, they moved away from him. Finally, he was put into one corner of the city.
But she'd never abandon him.
And she, whatever expense money she had, after she exhausted it, it was used up to live a simple life, then she would work in people's homes to get some money just to survive. But she always stood by the side of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are responsibilities. That is why Rasulullah has mentioned, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. The entire world is goods. And the best of goods is a pious wife. In the tafsir of this, al-mar'atu as-salihah, ulama have mentioned that when the husband looks at his wife, إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتُ, she makes him happy. When he commands, of course, the command has been within the limits of Sharia. Anything beyond the limits of Sharia, if he commands her to behave in an illicit way, to flirt with other men, to dress up in an un-Islamic manner, to discard her salah, her tilawat of the Quran, to behave like an unchaste, immoral woman, then she will never obey him. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. But when the command is a simple command within the limits of Sharia, as a husband, he commands his wife, then she executes that command. And when he is absent, he's gone on a journey, he's not present at home, then she protects her chastity. She protects his wealth. These are some of the things that has been mentioned for a pious wife. My respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us menfolk. It's a command. But our mashayikh, Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, used to always emphasize this point, and he would say, it is as though Allah is making sifarish. He is interceding on behalf of the women folk, on behalf of the wives, and he's telling the husbands, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them kindly. Be polite. Be loving to your wife. Treat her decently. Don't abuse her. Don't abuse her physically. Don't abuse her psychologically. Don't taunt her. Smile at your wife. Give her gifts. Make salam when you enter your house. Make salam when you're leaving the house. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who could provide for us a better example than his life? After Fajr, he would sit on his musalla till Ishraq. Various hadith riwayat have been mentioned. He would discuss with Sahaba. Sometimes somebody saw a dream the night before, then he would interpret the dream. And after all that, after performing Ishraq, he would go to the homes of his wives. He would make salam, see to them. After Asr, this was also his practice. When he would leave the home, he would kiss his wives. He would call them with beautiful names, in a loving manner. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is called sometimes Ya Aishu, in the diminutive form, out of love, Ya Humaira. When Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala drank from a glass, immediately after that, Rasulullah SAW would take that glass or container and he would place his lips where she had drunk from. This was the love they had. There are narrations wherein it is mentioned that Rasulullah SAW had a bath in the same vessel and container with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. He even found the time, an opportune time, an appropriate time, not in front of the Sahaba, in privacy, to run races with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Even the night or the day when he got married to Zainab bintu Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, it's a lengthy incident where that nikah was performed by Allah in the heavens. Walima is taking place. Even then he finds the time to go and see to his other wives. Perhaps they're feeling a bit low today. He goes and he makes salam to them. He asks them, how is the condition? كيف حالكِ? And they in reply, they made salam to him. And they asked him, how's your new wife? How's the new bride? That love, that muhabbah.
To such an extent that even after the demise of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, in Madinah Munawwara, Rasulullah still would talk about her. And he would praise her. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, on one occasion, she became a bit envious, jealous, upset. As though there's no other woman in the world, no other wives, only Khadija, Khadija. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, wallahi, I did not even see Khadija in my life. She was very young when Khadija was much elder and she had passed away. But the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would praise her. Rasulullah sallam turned to me, he said, oh Aisha, Khadija brought iman in me when nobody else brought iman in me. When people ostracized me, she stood by me, she supported me. She bore my children. She was like this, she was like that. He began to enumerate all her good qualities. He would even find the time to slaughter an animal, then make pieces of the meat and send to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala who were still living. So my respected brothers and elders, a few tips for all of us, especially the couple that are getting married today. Allah bless this nikah, Allah protect them, Allah protect from any divorce or any mishaps. It has become so common today. Just a few days, nikah, and then the next thing we hear, it's a divorce. So Allah protect any person, any parent has this fear. You will see the mother of the bride, the very next day, she'll want to see that her daughter is smiling, she's happy. If she sees her son-in-law holding her daughter's hand, and showing her that affection, it causes her happiness, that my wife, my daughter, she's okay. And also, the family of the boy, of the husband, they also want to see that my son must be happy. In nikah, we will find three verses, and all those three verses emphasize taqwa, 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 taqwa. And that is what we need. That's the first recipe or ingredient for a successful marriage, that we have to have taqwa in our lives. And one has to build in within himself this consciousness that my Allah is watching me. The husband will do that, the wife will do that. So if you realize that Allah is watching me, you will make sure that you fulfill the other person's rights. If you don't have taqwa within you, you'll be carefree, you'll do as you please. Then you'll forget this intercession that Allah has made, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You'll forget the injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, begging to us that I am giving you nasihat, wasiyat, be kind to your wife. Hajjatul Wida, we may have heard that bayan already, these are Mubarak days of Hajj. May Allah accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. May Allah grant them Hajj Mabrur, Maqbool. The last Hajj or the farewell pilgrimage, the sermon that was given, which many people will hang up on their walls, and you will find written there that he even at that time instructed the menfolk to be careful and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to their wives and what their right hand possesses. One hadith, فَإِنَّهُنَّ عَوَانٍ عِنْدَكُمْ. They are so as to say like captives in your care, because she has left her mother's home, her father's home. She's not living with her siblings anymore. Sometimes she's living very far away. She's living overseas with her husband, as though now she's in his bondage. Doesn't mean she's your slave, you're her master. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى does not mean that men are bullies over their wives. Yes, they will oversee the affairs of their wives in a beautiful way. Allahumma inni uharriju alaykum haqqa al-da'ifain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, I deem sinful and unlawful the misappropriation of the rights of the two weak ones, al-yateem wa nisa, the orphan and the woman folk. يَعْمَدُ أَحَدُكُمْ فَيَجْلِدُ إِمْرَاتَهُ جَلْدَ الْعَبْدِ. You see, a man becomes angry, becomes abusive, and he begins to whoop and beat his wife like how a person will beat up a slave. فَلَعَلَّهُ يُضَادِعُهَا فِي آخِرِ يَوْمِهِ. He should think and ponder, what is he doing? He is hurting her. But perhaps in the evening now to fulfill his desire, then he'll want to share the bed with her. And then he want to be intimate with her. After you have bruised her body, this was never the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at his wives. He would give them gifts. He would make salam. On a journey. Imagine the journeys of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not holiday journeys like you and I go for. He's gone in the path of Allah. Sometimes it is a jihad. It's an expedition. Even then he would find time at night, after all the other affairs had been seen to either walk next to his wife who had accompanied him on the journey, or he would ride next to that wife. It's a beautiful incident where Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala both accompany Rasulullah SAW on expedition, and Rasulullah would share time equally between the both after seeing to all the affairs of the Muslims. But late at night, he would then bring his horse or camel next to that of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. He'd given Hafsa her share, but now extra time he would spend with Sayyidina Aisha, and she would chat with him, and she was mounted on her horse. Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala saw this. She became a bit envious. Co-wives, after all, they were sharing which husband? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he was present here, which one of us would not want maximum time from him and maximum company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So she thinks of a plan. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was so innocent. Hafsa tells her, how about changing our horses, our conveyances, and see how my horse, how it rides. Let me check how your horse is riding. So Sayyidina Aisha agrees, and that night, Hafsa radiallahu anha, remember both a drape in hijab and parda, Rasulullah could identify the horse of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and that is why he'll bring her, his horse next to hers. So at night he brought his horse next to the same horse. It was Hafsa radiallahu anha. He did not become upset. And he began to talk to Hafsa radiallahu anha, knowing it is Hafsa. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha then realized her mistake, what she did. And then she began to so as to see, curse herself. Oh, what I amended it. Safiya radiallahu anha is traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And suddenly she falls off the camel. She's a bit hurt. Rasulullah immediately, he jumps off his conveyance, he rushes towards her. He takes her into his hand. He comforts her. She begins to cry. He wipes off the tears from the eyes of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And very gently, he mounts her back onto the camel. This was the love affection there. Somebody, you walking with your wife and she slips somewhere, you embarrass me in front of every person. You don't know how to walk even. Let us not be harsh and cruel with our tongues. Never become abusive. Then nafs and shaitan get the better of us, Allah forbid, then we begin to blurt statements which we will regret rest of our life. A woman, in the hadith it is mentioned, this is not talking bad of any woman. This is the reality Allah created. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah created him. Allah created a Hawa from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and a rib is crooked. Doctors are present here. A rib, naturally Allah created crooked. In fact, it is mentioned when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, after he was created, and then Allah ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, and when Adam saw her, immediately, there was a natural disposition, a fitrah within him, that attracted him towards her. A male is attracted to a female, opposite sex. Not male with male and female with female. Allah forbid. Where are we heading for? The world, the Western world, morbid world, immoral, day and night polluted with filth. They will find reason to say it is okay. Not just okay, it should be accepted. My beloved brothers and elders, it is important for all of us that from childhood days, when we're making the tarbiyat of the children, make sure they are reading the right type of material and the tarbiyat is made in the correct way. So from a crooked rib, and Rasulullah said, if you try to straighten this crooked rib, you will break it. وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا. And if you leave it crooked, you remain crooked, but derive benefit in its crookedness. This is what Allah created. You will enjoy your wife in that condition, in that way Allah has made her. Don't try and make her a man. You are the man. Praise her. How often do we praise our wives? MashaAllah, you're looking so beautiful. When did we call her in a beautiful way? You know, this is an elderly person, old man, very old. A friend comes to visit him. And this man is calling to his wife. She's in the kitchen. She's very old. They're in the late 80s or 90s. And he's calling her beautiful words. My Jan, Janu, my sweetheart, my love. And this young person, he got excited. But at this age also, you're still calling your wife such beautiful names. So he whispers to him, actually, I forgot her real name. Memory, as you grow old, you forget. So my respected brothers, praise our wives. We have heard that incident so often. And I'll just mention it again. Time is already, has come up. It has terminated. So this one incident where the wife living with the husband, and never in his life he ever praises her. And one day he calls some guests, some Maulana comes, you know. And she has prepared the meal. And as he's leaving, the Maulana from behind the parda, he compliments her, mashallah, food is very tasty. We all enjoy it. Allah give you barakah. And he goes and she begins to cry. So the husband says, oh, what is wrong with you? Maulana is praising you. He didn't say anything wrong. Why are you crying? She says, the first time somebody praised me on my cooking. I mean, I'm feeling so good. So when you praise some person, especially when the husband praises his wife, it brings within her confidence in herself. And that is what she wants. She wants to be praised. She won't ask to be praised. Your own mother, if you praise her, ma, the food was so tasty, she'll blush, she'll feel, no, but she'll feel happy. So the next day, this mota whole day at his work, he rehearsed, I have to praise my wife and tell her, mashallah, very good cooking, and the whole day and the evening came and she had the food and he ate the food and mashallah, so tasty. In my life, I never ate so such nice food. She begins to cry again. Now he thinks, what I did wrong. I praise you. She said, today when the neighbor sends food, now you're praising the food. So praise our wives. Show them that extra love and care. Extra love and care. Praise them. Show them that love. And most importantly, a life that you are living together, there must be mutual understanding between husband and wife. Many times, over petty issues, because miscommunication, we didn't understand properly, we didn't speak correctly, we just said something, we didn't read the message correctly. And we become angry, we abuse our wives, or she becomes angry, there's henpecking taking place, nagging, and then there's a war in the house. When your wife talks to you, that time put your cell phone down. You're doing any work? Leave it. Listen to her attentively. It is rude that she is talking to you and you're busy doing whatever you are sending a message. Like it is so important, more than what your wife is telling you. She needs that quality time. And I showed you how Rasulullah spent quality time with his wives. And therefore, it is the most successful marriage and the marriage of Rasulullah, all the marriages he had. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu jama'in, Salafi Salihin, may Allah Ta'ala give us also a successful marriage. Allah bring barakah in our lives. Allah create that mahabba, that mawadda, if we have Allah in our lives. Together, even in the hadith it says that when a man, husband wakes up at night before the wife, time for tahajjud, sprinkle some, just splash some, few drops of water on the wife and wake her also up for tahajjud. Read tahajjud together. Read Quran together. Imagine in that house with tilawat of Quran together. Husband and wife are partners on this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will see barakah. Then we see good results. Allah ta'ala bless this nikah. Allah bless all those nikahs. And many youngsters who are not yet married, may Allah find them suitable spouses. And Allah bless them with a halal, pure wife, pure halal for a wife, for the woman, pure husbands, so that they may live a beautiful sunnah and bring the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their lives. Inshallah, the nikah parties can quickly come forward, inshallah.